Hello, fellow nerds, and welcome to another episode of the Modern Health Nerd Podcast, where every week we're bringing you fascinating conversations with the movers, shakers, and innovators in food, health, agriculture, and everywhere in between. I'm your host, Teresa Sam Houghton, Chief Nerd at the Modern Health Nerd. And today I am talking with Tyler Mayoris of Cool Beans. In fact, he's the CEO of Cool Beans, which stands for, in this case, Cool Executive Officer. You'll hear a little bit about why that is when we go over the unique branding of Cool Beans during this episode. And at Cool Beans, Tyler is bringing whole food plant-based options to the freezer aisle. Before he did that, he spent over 20 years in private equity investing and consulting, and he was also a principal at the Advantage Capital Food and Agriculture Fund. Today, he's put his support behind a bunch of other plant-based brands because he really believes in this movement and the future of this movement. And this podcast episode really covers it all. We talk about everything from the origin of Cool Beans and that cool branding I mentioned, as well as Tyler's focus on and love of regenerative agriculture, the environmental impact of the kind of agriculture that we're using now, and even the health effects of things like glyphosate and, on the other end of the spectrum, beans, which, if you can't tell already, is a main ingredient in Cool Beans products. Now, before we dive into it, I just want to thank all of you for listening and for supporting the podcast. If you like this, please subscribe to it on your favorite podcasting platform and give us a rating and a review so that other people can hear more plant-based nerdiness. And if you want some written plant-based nerdiness, you can head on over to modernhealthnerd.com/news and sign up for my weekly newsletter. As a matter of fact, this week I'm going back to providing a little bit of a news roundup every Friday. I used to do that when I was writing on Substack under Green Gut Wellness, and I'm going to bring it back now under Modern Health Nerd because, frankly, I miss doing it, and there's some really interesting stuff going on in the plant-based space, and I don't want you to miss it either. So, speaking of, let's dive right in to my conversation with Tyler Mayoris. Welcome to the podcast, Tyler. Thanks for taking some time to be on.
Thanks, Sam. Well, thanks for having me. I'm excited.
I'm excited too, because I'll just give a little backstory here. I first heard about what you're doing with Cool Beans on the Plant-Based Business Hour with Elizabeth Alfano. She's also been on this podcast, and she gave you guys a shout out when she was on this podcast because we were talking about whole food plant-based and just the many different options that are out there. So could you tell us a little bit about what you're doing with Cool Beans and what really got you interested in plant-based food?
Yeah, sure. So I've been interested for quite a while. I was actually a vegetarian all through the 90s and invested way back then when I was an early private equity investor in Boca Burger. And we helped grow that business over a 3.5 year period to about $50 million before we sold it to Kraft. So I got kind of the early bug with plant-based. I fell off the wagon for a while, for probably 15 years while my kids were young, and we were cooking one meal at each night and didn't want to have to multiple, and we were misled into believing that you needed to feed children animals and milk and whatnot. So I actually came back to veganism in 2017, and what prompted, I've been a private equity investor for the last 20 years, and 10 of that, the last 10 year has been in the food and agriculture industry. So I do a lot of research, books, and listen to lectures, etc., and studying the industry and really focused around sustainable food and agriculture. And I was actually at a conference where they were talking about the climate impact of animal agriculture. And at that conference, they were talking about a 15% contribution to greenhouse gases from animal agriculture. And I couldn't believe that number was real. And so I started doing research when I got back to Chicago and actually built the numbers up myself using USDA data and EPA data. And I came up with a range between 16 and 19% of all greenhouse gases coming from animal agriculture. And I was just floored by that. And that really prompted me that I needed to make a change in my own diet, and I really needed to focus more around, from an investment standpoint, around plant-based food. And so I started down the process, started with Meatless Monday, like a lot of people do. And within 2 months, I was fully vegan and haven't looked back. And it's been a great experience, been very good from a health standpoint, as well as driven me into investing as an angel into a lot of plant-based food companies. And that's also been very rewarding. So that's really what got me prompted. And along that way, one of the things I noticed, because I was really trying to eat whole food plant-based as much as possible, but that's not real easy to do. There's a lot of vegan food out there, but a lot of it's vegan junk food. And while I love things like Beyond Burger and Impossible and Daiya pizzas, try not to eat them more than once or twice a week, because from just a general health standpoint, they're not that optimal for you. So I didn't understand why there weren't more whole food plant-based options. I was cooking a lot myself, but I didn't really have time to do it. And I was the only one that was vegan. So I was cooking for myself, and you'd have to make big batches and freeze it and whatnot. So ultimately, I started talking to some friends and said, look, I've been cooking and making things, but I think there should be very convenient, easy to make whole food plant-based products. Why aren't there any? And you know, a lot of people had the same question as I did. And I talked to a couple of people that were very interested in starting something. And so a group of us started the company together with the whole idea of creating a family of frozen food products that are whole food plant-based. And that's really our goal and mission.
Which I appreciate, because I recognize exactly what you said. I've been plant-based. I mentioned this before on podcast. I've been plant-based since 2009. I was a vegetarian mostly before that. I think I was officially a vegetarian since 2008, and it was really hard to get anything convenient that both tasted good, well, three things, tasted good, had a good texture, and wasn't somehow full of stuff I didn't want to eat, which is one of the things that drew me to Cool Beans, just to see what you guys were doing. There's that, and you also have a pretty engaging brand image. So why don't you talk a little bit about how you developed that and why you're going with something that really fits the name Cool Beans? Because if people haven't seen these, if you go to the Cool Beans website, you can see how bright the colors are, the big fonts, and your social media is the same. So where did that get dreamed up?
Yeah, so when we started down this path, I partnered with first a gentleman that I've known for 30 years, went to business school together, Mike Brennan, who formerly was one of the very early employees at Peapod, and then was with that company for 20 years until he was the COO. And they were something like a $250 million company or something. So he had experience in the food space. And so the two of us were the people that seed funded the company. But we partnered with a company called Beyond Brands, which I had found through another food industry friend. And Beyond Brands is a really interesting company. It was started by Eric Schnell. He had formerly built Steez with Steven Kessler. Steez is an iced tea brand that was kind of a natural iced tea and sparkling beverage brand. And they created this concept of, we want to back conscious capitalist companies. So people that had both a profit incentive, but also a social incentive. And he's been a vegetarian all his life. And so he really liked this concept and idea. And they what they do is they will help companies. They can do just typical consulting work, but they also can do brand launches. And that's really what we did. They were one of the early people helping to launch Good Catch. And that was kind of a model for us to say, okay, well, we'll seed fund this. You guys help develop the products and get it launched into market. And then we'll see where things go from there. And that's what we did. And it took us about a year and a half to develop the products, get the brand image right. I had come up with the idea of Cool Beans because legumes are so important, both from a soil standpoint, because they put nitrogen back in the soil, but also from a human health standpoint. Legumes are one of the few foods high in fiber that get down into your lower gut, which is where all your immunity lies. And the good bacteria need high fiber foods to thrive. And so beans are really good for you from a health perspective. So I like this concept of calling it Cool Beans. We were shocked that we were able to get the trademark for the frozen aisle, and very excited. And so with that in mind, given that it was a kind of a 60s term, and we thought, let's try to tie that into our branding to give it kind of a 60s feel. And so that's kind of what we did. And that's why you see consistently across the board what we look like from a brand image standpoint.
As a former health coach and, oh boy, this is the first time I'm admitting this publicly on the podcast, as a former health coach and a former very big fan of both the 60s and the Monkees, all I can say is beans are groovy.
Yes. Yeah. I was a big fan of the Monkees myself. So yeah, I'm dating myself, but yes, I do. So we just really liked it. And it's been fun to have that brand image and Instagram to our presentations, to our packaging. It's a fun brand, and that's what we wanted to incorporate.
And I do want to just go back and be a little bit of a health coach nerd. You mentioned all those great things about beans. The thing about beans that makes them so important and makes them one of the big foods that Dr. Joel Fuhrman always cites as being so important for people who have diabetes, but it's important for anybody, is the fact that it is, as you were saying, it's a resistant starch fiber. So you don't digest it in your digestive system, but your gut bacteria eat it. And then I actually had Jeff Palmer on this podcast during my fitness month, and he was talking about how gut bacteria can take lactic acid and make butyrate and help you recover from workouts. So if you're eating the beans and you are also working out, I mean, this is amazing combination of stuff, and you're offering something that's really convenient. So how is Cool Beans different from other wraps that are out there? There's a lot of different wrap options, and a lot of them with vegan. But how's Cool Beans different? What puts you in the whole food plant-based category?
Yeah, so what we really wanted to focus on, and when we first started developing these products, we had a great, Maggie Sadowski was our food scientist. She worked with us as a consultant and helped create this. But our guidelines were, we wanted to be as close to whole food plant-based as possible. So we wanted to use whole ingredients, very minimally processed. And we wanted to have beans in each of the products. And we wanted a diversity of vegetables. That was really the kind of the guidelines. And we didn't want it to be soupy. You know, I think one of the things that you get with a lot of wraps is it's kind of like a stew inside of a wrap. And we didn't want that. We wanted you to actually see and taste the actual vegetables. And so that's really the guideline that we gave her. And she did an amazing job. We really don't have sauce in each one of the wraps. Our flavor comes from spices. And so we've got this great spice, proprietary spice blend on each one of the flavors. And then you actually, if you cut it open, you see beans and veggies and whole grains spill out. And it's not lost in a mush of stew that you get with a lot of other burritos. So that's how we're different. And then we're just very minimally processed. So obviously the beans are cooked and the rice or millet or other whole grains are cooked. And then everything is flash frozen, and we actually blend it together in a frozen state. They're rolled into the burritos, hand rolled, and then flash frozen again. And so you actually complete the cooking process in the microwave or toaster oven or air fryer when you cook them. So they're very minimally processed.
You can cook them in the air fryer? That's awesome.
I have not yet tried it, but I've had a couple people tell me that they do it and it tastes great. So yeah, we're gonna do some experimenting with cooking instructions for that, because we don't have those, but we want to be able to provide people with that as well as toaster oven cooking instructions on the website.
I smell a really fun brand image YouTube series brewing here.
Yeah, there you go. Yes, that is a good idea.
So with all of this that you're doing, how would you say that this product and the way that you're approaching it as whole food plant-based, and as I recall, you're gluten-free too, how are you contributing to a better food landscape, better health through Cool Beans?
You know, I think a lot of people go to plant-based because they know it's healthier. However, if you watch Game Changers, or you watch Forks Over Knives, or you listen to YouTube videos with Neil Bernard and Joel Kahn and some of those doctors speak about a plant-based diet, what they're talking about is a whole food plant-based diet. And unfortunately, if you just simply replace the animal fat with 4 ounces of oil to create your product, you're not really improving the health that dramatically. It's better, but it's not dramatically better. And so that's really what we're trying to do is that we believe a whole food plant-based diet is the best diet for longevity and overall health and diet and weight loss, et cetera. And so that's where we focused, and all our products will have that. You know, very early on, people have said, well, why don't we put some fake meat in this wrap or whatever. And I've been very staunchly against that from the beginning. We just won't ever have that in our products because we want them to be minimally processed and as close to the actual whole vegetables and legumes as possible. So that's our health, overall health focus. From a gluten-free standpoint, it was interesting. At the time, I was generally trying to eat gluten-free. I wouldn't call myself gluten-free, but I was trying to avoid gluten. And the reason is, again, from dating back to my research days with investing in food and agriculture, one of the things that's interesting, it's scary really, somewhere between 25 and 30% of all wheat is sprayed with glyphosate just before harvest to stop it from growing because glyphosate dries things out. And so it's not a GMO product. So it doesn't need to be sprayed with glyphosate, except that it makes it easier to harvest for the farmer. And 25-30%, maybe that's not a lot. But the problem is it all goes into the same grain bin. The way our system works, we've got two sets of grain bins in this country, organic and non-organic. And so anything that's non-organic, whether it's been sprayed with glyphosate or not, is going into one big grain bin. And so once 20% is contaminated with glyphosate, it's all contaminated with glyphosate. And glyphosate is, you know, I listened to enough podcasts on the topic with Zach Bush that, you know, glyphosate is just a terrible product for our overall health. It kills the good bacteria in your gut. And ultimately, all your immunity, all our mental health is guided by the bacteria in our gut. And if you don't have that right balance, if you're taking antibiotics, like glyphosate acts as an antibiotic, basically, it's killing that good bacteria and it's very bad for you. So that's why we decided to use a gluten-free wrap.
I'm glad you brought that up because we haven't covered that on the podcast yet. That is something that I've kind of struggled with in my own diet because I like wheat, but I can't always buy organic wheat just because, you know, budget or availability or what have you, depending on the product that I want. And that's something that not a lot of people know. And as a former health coach, I often have to wonder if all of this gluten sensitivity is really glyphosate sensitivity, because I have heard more than once, especially in the recent past, people saying, you know, when people who have gluten issues go over to Europe where they don't do XYZ, they don't seem to have issues with it. So do you feel like that might be some of the issue?
Absolutely. And I don't believe it's a coincidence. So GMOs started in around 92, 93, something like that. And almost all genetic modification is focused on making something resistant to Roundup, which is glyphosate. So corn, soybean, cotton, that's where most of the genetic modifications are made. And so it's all about Roundup and glyphosate. And it's not a coincidence, I don't believe, that we've seen this explosion of autoimmune diseases and food sensitivities, allergies and sensitivities, and several other health issues like autism and whatnot. At the same time, you've seen this huge explosion in the amount of glyphosate that's been used. They spray about four times as much now as they did in 92 before they created those Roundup resistant crops. And so I don't think that's a coincidence. It's in our food, it's in our drinking water, it's in the air, and we're all being exposed to it. And so the more you can reduce that exposure, the better off you are.
It's great to hear that you're working on doing that through your brand too. Now this brings me to something that you and I have talked before, and I know that you're into regenerative agriculture. How does all of that tie into what you were just talking about and also your mission with Cool Beans and in your own career in general?
You know, I know you often ask people, you know, what's a major issue facing the food system, and I would say it's the use of chemicals. We've just gotten to a point where we monocrop corn and soybean almost exclusively. And I saw this, I was working in turnaround consulting for a period of time and working on a large farm bankruptcy. And I was shocked to see that they didn't rotate crops. Basically the farmer who at the time was farming over 25,000 acres said, no, corn is the most profitable. So we just plant corn, and we just put more NPQ, or NPK, excuse me, which is nitrogen, phosphate, and potassium, on the soil to replenish anything that's been degraded. And then they're spraying chemicals, which kills all the bacteria and life within the soil. So you basically have dead soil, you put NPK on it, which is created, which is you potassium and phosphorus, they mine, and then nitrogen they make from the air. Basically, they make liquid nitrogen by heating up air to just a ridiculous temperature, which is a heavy fossil fuel laden industry. And so we've gotten to this point where our soil won't grow anything on its own. And we need to go back to the way things used to be, which is, you know, it's funny, they call conventional agriculture what we do now with all these chemicals. And regenerative agriculture is this idea of using no chemicals and going back and using cover crops, rotating, planting 10 to 12 different crops. But really that's conventional. That's how it was done before 100 years ago. And that's what we need to get back to. It's not as efficient. You can't just get on a combine and go out and harvest all your crops when you're planting 12 or 13 different crops, but it's much more productive from a soil standpoint, creating good nutrient-dense soil, and from a human health standpoint.
And with more nutrient-dense soil comes more nutrient-dense food. And this is something I actually just noticed today. A lot of people will say they have a hard time eating fruits and vegetables, or they don't like fruits and vegetables, but the way that we're monocropping things and killing our soil is part of the reason why, I think, because you eat, say, a cucumber, even an organic cucumber, at this time of year, and we're recording this in February and I'm in upstate New York, it tastes awful. And then you go and you buy a cucumber from a regenerative ag farm, or just a farm that's using, like you said, what is truly traditional agriculture, when they're actually in season in the spring, it actually has flavor. It tastes like a cucumber. So I think that's part of what's going on. I mean, it's crazy how, well, you mentioned the soil. There's a fantastic book called The Hidden Half of Nature. Have you read that book?
I have not. That sounds really interesting. I'll definitely have to check that out.
Yeah, that's a good one. I'll drop a link in the show notes too, so that people can check it out. It talks about the soil bacteria, and also how that links to the human microbiome. It's really fascinating about everything you were just saying, how the nutrient-dense soil then begets healthier people. So with
I would highly recommend too, just listening to any of Zach Bush's podcasts online, or maybe try to get him on the show, because he is a wealth of knowledge. He's a triple board certified doctor, and he's been studying the links between soil and bacteria and your gut for years. And really, it has some fascinating knowledge. But Kiss the Ground was also very good for kind of somebody just getting into it or interested in it. That's a really good kind of primer that's not too technical about what is important about regenerative agriculture and how we're farming. The other thing that happens with taste is that cucumber that you're buying in the grocery store, since it's out of season, is probably being grown in Mexico. And then it's sprayed with chemicals to get up here and stay healthy for longer so that you can buy it at the grocery store. And I think one of the things you're going to see, it's already started, but I think we're going to see it pretty dramatically over the next 20 years, is a move toward indoor agriculture. And a lot more, right now it's mostly leafy greens, herbs, some tomatoes that are being grown, but I think eventually almost everything that isn't tree-based will be grown indoors and closer to the customer. And you can do that in an organic way without chemicals. And so it's going to be better tasting. It's going to be more efficient. And unfortunately, because of climate change, we're not going to be able to supply our country with so much produce out of Florida, out of California, as we have in the past. It's just not going to be as resilient a climate there, both from a water standpoint as well as soil that's been degraded over many years now.
Yeah, and if we can merge the indoor and the regenerative, I think we have a chance of getting that healthier soil back, because we'll have less intensive crops, and then we will also be able to put fresh food in places where we can't have necessarily a farm, or in the traditional sense. I had both Hank Adams from Rise Gardens, who does indoor hydroponics for like your house and your apartment, and I also had Alexander and Graham from Babylon Microfarms, who do microfarm installations at institutions, and this is what they're working on. They're going beyond, like you said, the leafy greens. So we've talked about a lot of different areas over the course of the podcast here. Where do you think we really need to be focusing next? What do you see as the next steps in the plant-based movement, in the food system, to get back towards a lot of these things we've been talking about?
Yeah, so I definitely would like to see a lot more healthy vegan options for people that are moving to plant-based. I look at it and I say, I look at it being ripe for kind of that innovation that happened over the last 20 years in the general food. You see, 20 years ago, we all ate Pop-Tarts and TV dinners and whatnot. And over time, people said, okay, now I'm going to move toward natural products. I want it to be healthy. I want clean ingredients, et cetera. And so you've seen the entire grocery store transform as a result. But now I think that same transition is going to happen in the plant-based food movement. You know, we've moved people over, and it's now a $5 billion industry, and it's growing, and we're getting more and more people coming into it, which is great. And I'm happy to have people come in, and because they tasted Beyond for the first time and they were blown away. It's an amazing product. But I don't think anybody believes that you should be eating Beyond and Impossible 7 nights a week. That's not going to be healthy for you. And so now we need to see that same clean ingredient movement happen within plant-based to create a lot more options for people that are healthy. The other thing, I definitely think you're going to see a lot more agriculture move indoors so that we can sustain, you know, while climate change kind of takes over our outdoor growing spaces.
Well, what are you most excited about that you see up and coming in the plant-based space? You've had a lot of experience in, like you said, investing and also now with developing the brand. What's got your attention right now?
You know, I think the fermentation is really interesting. There's quite a few people working with fungi and different things to create products that are very healthy for you. Fermented foods in general are very good for your gut bacteria. And if you can create products that taste like cheese or some of these other products from a fermented plant or fungi, that's pretty interesting, I think. It'll be interesting to see what happens with the whole clean meat and like the Perfect Day products and things like that. I think they're really interesting. I don't know as a vegan if I will eat them, but I think it's great that somebody can replicate things and create products that people will enjoy that don't have animals involved. You know, that's one of the other things that you see. One of the main issues when you talk about 16 to 19% of all greenhouse gases coming from animal agriculture, people are like, well, how can that be? There's just only so many feedlots and whatnot. The problem is we have to grow food for all those animals. And 70% of our cropland right now is not used to feed humans. It's used to feed animals, and about 5%, a small amount, is used to make ethanol. When you drive by cornfields and soybean fields in the Midwest, I always thought those were for humans. None of that's for humans. That's all going to feed animals. And that, you know, that's just a really inefficient use of space and agriculture and land and resources, and obviously it generates a lot of greenhouse gases. If we can eliminate that by creating fermented food meats and alternative protein and cell-based, I think it's a great alternative for people that want to continue to eat meat.
How do you see it fitting into the whole landscape with the whole food plant-based, since we did mention the science points very distinctly toward the more whole food you eat, the healthier you are, the lower your disease risk. And like you said, we don't know yet. And that's one of the things where that has me kind of on the fence about some of the things like the Perfect Day and the other companies that are creating identical proteins. We don't know what the health effect is going to be. How do you see all of that fitting together?
I mean, that's probably why I wouldn't do it. I think I probably wouldn't eat clean meat just because I gave up meat both from a climate perspective and a health perspective. And I know the negative health impacts of eating meat. And so I would never go back to it. And whether it's grown in a lab or from an animal, doesn't really matter. I'm not going to eat it. So I don't believe it's going to be healthy for you, if you will. But there are people that don't care and always want to eat meat. And I respect that that's going to be there. We're never going to be 100% plant-based, at least probably in my lifetime. And so it's great to be able to create something for people that absolutely will not go plant-based, that they can eat, that is better for the climate and better for animals.
And time will tell. There will be science, I'm sure. But I'm not the only nerd. There's going to be people doing science on it. As you know, there's already that one study with that Beyond had commissioned, that small one. I wrote a newsletter about it with like 36 people where they were swap. It was actually called Swap Meat. Did you hear about that one where they swapped plant-based and animal-based foods in two different diets?
No, I don't think I've read that one.
I got a huge chuckle out of it because it was actually called the Swap Meat study or trial, where they took like 36 people and split them into two groups, and they swapped back and forth with eating animal-based foods and eating like the Beyond Burger. And they did have some interesting changes that were in a positive direction, but one study, small cohort, we're going to need some more before... I'm with you. We're going to need some more before I'm going to be going out and trying some of these things, because health was a big thing for me too.
Yeah, and I think the perfect day, I listened to the podcast that actually Elizabeth had them on, and I believe they think that they're healthier than traditional milk. But, you know, I don't know that they're all the way to what a soy milk or an almond milk would be from a health perspective.
I'm excited to see the science. So, but that's just the way I am. I'm a nerd. I'm like, where's the science? So I wanted to ask, since we did talk a lot about cool beans, we got off on another track, but I wanted to have you let people know, when they try cool beans, what do they have to expect? You have a lot of flavors out now, and you have some other things in the works.
Yeah. So we have three flavors out right now. Spicy chipotle is a very spicy. It's probably on the high end of tolerance for some people. It's my favorite and I love it, but it's very spicy, but smoky flavoring as well. And then we have tikka masala, which is kind of in between, although I would consider it kind of at the low end of the spice category, but some people say feel that it has some kick to it. And that's kind of a traditional Indian type flavoring. And then Moroccan gold is a very unique flavor. It's not spicy at all, so it's savory. It's a savory flavor, but it's a little sweeter too because it's got sweet potatoes in it. And you combine that with the millet and then the beans. It's a very unique flavor. I enjoy it a lot, but it is not at all spicy. So we've kind of got the full range of savory to spicy. And then we're coming out with a few new flavors. I can't say which just yet, but a couple different international flavors, and then one flavor that's much more home style US, if you will. So we're very excited about those and talking to some retailers right now about introducing those.
You're making me hungry. Sounds tasty. Especially that chipotle one. I have a friend who makes a chipotle superfood salsa, and that I put that on like salads. It's that good. So,
yeah, chipotle is a great flavor, and I like smoky. Smoky just adds something to anything, really.
I agree. Now I'm going to go down to the more serious question here. This is the big one that I ask everyone as I start to wrap up the podcast. If you had unlimited power and resources and you could bring about one change in our modern food system, what could it be? You have sky's the limit, no boundaries.
Yeah, I would try to get chemicals out of our agriculture. And I know it's a big ask, and I'm sure that a lot of farmers would roll their eyes at me as, you know, an unrealistic dreamer. But I think that the chemicals that we've put into our food system and our bodies, and really in all the products that you get in a grocery store, just are laden with chemicals in the packaging, et cetera. And we just have too much of it. And I think that it's dramatically impacted our health. And I think we would be better off if we could try to reduce that and ideally eliminate it.
I'm going to definitely agree with you on that one as somebody who has had gut problems for a seriously long time. And I think that that is one of the unfortunate things, really, because we tell people, you know, plant-based diet, it's so healthy, and it is, but then you have that to deal with. And I think sometimes it could create a discouragement, or it could even create kind of a sense of false advertising for people who don't know that that's what they're dealing with. Like you said, the glyphosate, the gut bacteria, all of that going on. So I can see that would make plant-based the ultimately healthy, if we could really get all of that garbage out of the system.
Yeah, agreed, for sure. So yeah, it's a perfect world. We hope we'll get there someday.
Oh, we'll get, you know, like you said, there's a lot of different things going on now with the indoor vertical farming, and a lot of, you know, there is regenerative ag going on. We've got a lot of promise going on.
Absolutely. It's definitely moving in the right direction. And one of the nice things about indoor ag is that almost all of those people grow. I don't know of anybody. I've looked at probably 12 to 13 during my investor life. And I don't know of any of them that use chemicals. They're all basically growing in an organic manner, which is great. So hopefully that's the direction we're headed.
I would hope so too. I have friends who have a regenerative ag farm. It gives me hope too, because they're younger farmers. And I was just talking to another farmer friend of mine the other day who was saying, well, nobody who's younger wants to farm. And I'm thinking, they're farming? So there's hope. So if people want to try Cool Beans, since you've made us all hungry telling us all about your different wraps, where can they find them? And where can they find you online to get a taste, pun intended, of your brand image and what you're doing in the online space?
Sure. So our website is eatcoolbeans.com, and you can find a store locator on the website. We're not yet blanketing the country. We're in about 650 doors so far, most kind of in the California down through the South and up the other coast. We have some in the Midwest, but we're trying to gain coverage. And you can also order them from right now veganessentials.com, which provides a bunch of different vegan foods you can try, and a good place if you're eating plant-based to check out, because if you're in the Midwest, oftentimes you can't get a lot of the best vegan foods that are available on the West Coast in the Midwest. And then there's another one that's just starting up. It's been up for a few months, called Veggie, V-E-J-J-I, and we'll be on that within the next couple of weeks. So you can also order us there as well. So those are the places to find us. On social media, we're on Instagram, we're on lovecoolbeans.com, L-U-V, coolbeans.com. And at Twitter and Facebook, Twitter's eatcoolbeans.com and Facebook's just coolbeans. So that's where you find us, and check us out.
I'll drop links to all that in the show notes so people can just go right there and check you out and follow you and hopefully try your stuff. So it's been great having you on. I thank you for all of your great insights, especially into some of those areas of agriculture and chemicals that we haven't covered on the podcast yet that we definitely should dig more into. So thank you for your insights and for taking the time.
I enjoyed it. It was a lot of fun. Thanks for having me on.
Another big thanks to Tyler for being on the podcast. Really enjoyed this conversation. Tyler is a great guy, really knowledgeable, really passionate about what he's doing. If you are interested in hearing more of his work in the whole food plant-based space, or learning about whole food plant-based eating, he currently is one of the moderators of a room for the Whole Food Plant-Based Club on Clubhouse every Tuesday night at 7 p.m. Eastern. I'm also a moderator in that room most weeks. We have great conversations. We answer questions about plant-based food, plant-based health, benefits of plant-based for different areas of health, and we have a lot of fun. So if you are into Clubhouse, join us sometime. And just another quick reminder, if you're enjoying the Modern Health Nerd podcast, please subscribe, give us a rating and review, and share us with your friends who like or are interested in plant-based food, plant-based eating, and the alternative protein space. That's all for now. Thanks for joining me this week, and come back next week for another fascinating conversation. Until then, stay nerdy!